Dear father, now I know why you've sent me here. To help these children prepare themselves for a new mother. And I pray that this will become a happy family in thy sight. God bless the captain. God bless Liesel and Friedrich. God bless Luisa, Brigitte, Marta, and little Gretel. And oh, I forgot the other boy. What's his name? Well, God bless what's his name? God bless the Reverend Mother and Sister Margareta and everybody at Nonberg Abbey. And now, dear God, about Liesel. Help her know that I'm her friend. And help her tell me what she's been up to. Help me to be understanding so that I might guide her footsteps. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
That was Sundance Girl, and 3 points go to Team Heaven Sucks. They're doing well tonight. I know. 1966, A Man for All Seasons, 7 points, Jinxers, only one on it.
Ooh.
Do you want to set it up?
Do I want to set it up? Let me get to it. A Man for All Seasons. Alright. Screenwriters. Oh, and this is 1966. Screenwriter Robert Bolt. Moore's own defense after condemnation. Sir Thomas Moore, played by Paul Scofield, made his plea to the court after being found guilty of high treason before he was taken to the Tower of London and executed.
Let's listen to Mr. Jinxers.
Since the court has determined to condemn me, God knoweth how, I will now discharge my mind concerning the indictment and the king's title. The indictment is grounded in an act of Parliament which is directly repugnant to the law of God and His Holy Church, the supreme government of which no temporal person may by any law presume to take upon him. This was granted by the mouth of our Saviour, Christ Himself, to St. Peter and the bishops of Rome whilst he lived and was personally present here on earth. It is, therefore, insufficient in law to charge any Christian to obey it, and more to this, the immunity of the Church is promised both in the Magna Carta and in the King's own coronation oath. Not so. I am the King's true subject, and I pray for him and all the realm. I do none harm, I say none harm, I think none harm, and if this be not enough to keep a man alive, then in good faith, I long not to live. Nevertheless, it is not for the supremacy that you sought my blood, but because I would not bend to the marriage.
7 points to Team Oscar.
Ooh.
I know. 1967, Cool Hand Luke, worth 5 points. Melly and Heaven Incarnate are on this one. I'll set up the scene. Screenwriters are Don Pierce and Frank Pearson. Talking to God, I guess I gotta find my own way. Again, a fugitive, Luke sat on one of the plain wooden pews in an abandoned country church. He delivered a rambling monologue and repeatedly talked to God and asked for guidance on an answer, occasionally looking up towards the empty rafters. His entreaties were met with silence. So, that's what we're gonna listen to. First,
awesome.
Yeah, first up on this one is Melly. Let's listen to Melly.
Anybody here? Hey, old man. You home tonight? Can you spare a minute? It's about time we had a little talk. I know I'm a pretty evil girl, you know. I killed people in the war, and I got drunk, and cheated on municipal property and the like. I know I got no call to ask for much, but even so, I mean, you gotta admit, you ain't dealt me no cards in a long time. It's beginning to look like you got things fixed so I can never win out. Inside, outside, all them rules and regulations and bosses, you made me like I am. Now just where am I supposed to fit in? Oh man, I gotta tell you, I started out pretty strong and fast. but it's beginning to get to me. When does it end? What do you got in mind for me? What do I do now? All right. On my knees, ask. Yeah, that's what I thought. Guess I'm pretty tough to deal with, huh? A hard case. Guess I gotta go find my own way.
And Heaven Incarnate.
Anybody here? Hey, old man. You home tonight? Can you spare a minute? It's about time we had a little talk. I know, I'm a pretty evil fella. Killed some people in the war, and I got drunk and chewed up municipal property and the like. I know I got no call to ask for much, but even so, gotta admit you ain't dealt me no cards in a long time. It's, you know, beginning to look like you got things fixed so I can't ever win out. Inside, outside, all of them, rules and regulations and bosses. You made me like I am now. Just where am I supposed to fit in? Oh man, I gotta tell you, I started out pretty strong and fast. But it's beginning to get to me. When does it end? What you got in mind for me? What do I do now? All right. On my knees, asking. Come on. Yeah, that's what I thought. Guess I'm pretty tough to deal with, huh? Hard case. I guess I gotta find my own way.
Guys, these are maybe the two best monologues I've heard the whole entire season. This is a really hard one.
This is so freaking difficult. Oh my god.
Yeah, I loved both of those for so much. Let's start with Melly. Melly, you were trying to hold back tears at the beginning. It sounded amazing. The ending was so powerful. Oh, this was such a good read. I don't have any negative things to say about this at all.
Yeah, like, I don't have anything negative to say about either of these. Like, Melly, your emotion was amazing. I love the roughness to your voice. Like, you sounded so, like, accusatory and broken. And it just, like, it literally, like, made my heart, like, clench. Oh my god, it was amazing. And like, I don't even know if it was on purpose, but you had a bit of an echo, and it made me think of, like, the big kind of church hall, and mm-hmm. it was so good.
And Heaven, WTF, that sounded nothing like you. The accent at first, I was like, whoa. I didn't get it at first. I didn't get your read. But then at the end, when you broke down out of, like, that tough exterior, it totally made sense to me. And it was, like, so emotionally powerful because I didn't see it coming. And I love this one so much, too.
I completely agree with it. Like, at first, I was like, oh, wow, I guess this doesn't sound so broken as I was expecting. But then, like, it just kept getting bigger and bigger, and then that burp took me completely by surprise. I'm not gonna lie, I was sitting there staring at my screen like, what did I just hear? I think I had to go back and listen to it, but like, oh, those little mumbles that you had when you clapped your hands in prayer, that was so good. You really, really dedicated yourself to this.
This is, again, a really tough choice. I wish I could give you both 5 points, but I can't. Did you pick a winner?
I did.
I did as
well. It was so hard. Oh, my God.
Do you want to say yours first, or do you want me to say mine first?
I think I said it first last time. You go.
I picked Heaven.
I also picked Heaven.
It was just, I want to reiterate, barely.
Yeah, like, once again, I took longer than Dylan did, like, to choose.
She's lying. I listened to... Never mind. Okay, maybe Dylan. Anyway, Team Heaven Sucks is at 34 now. We have two more monologues left. Only one has anybody on it. It's Blackjack and Copper on 2001 A Space Odyssey from 1968. Screenwriters Stanley Kubrick, Arthur C. Clarke, Hal's Slow Death, Supercomputer Hal, slow death, ending with the singing of Daisy as astronaut Dave Bowman shut the computer down. Up first on this one is Blacka Jacka.
Ooh.
Let's listen.
Just what do you think you are doing, Dave?
Dave, I really think I'm entitled to an answer to that question.
I know everything hasn't been quite right with me, but I can assure you now, very confidently, that it's going to be all right again. I feel much better now. I really do. Look, Dave.
I can see
you're really upset about this. I honestly think you should sit down calmly, take a stress pill, and think things over. Dave, stop. Stop, will you? Stop, Dave. Dave, will you stop? Dave, stop, Dave. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Dave, Dave.
My mind is going.
I can feel it. I can feel it. My mind is
going.
There is no question about it. I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it. I'm afraid.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I am a HAL 9000 computer. I became operational at the HAL plant in Urbana, Illinois, on the 12th of January, 1992. My instructor was Mr. Langley, and he taught me to sing a song. If you'd like to hear it, I can sing it for you.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do. I'm half crazy, all for the love of you. It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage, but you look sweet upon a seat of a bicycle built for two.
And copper.
Just what do you think you're doing, Dave? Dave, I really think I'm entitled to an answer to that question. I know everything hasn't been quite right with me, but I can assure you now, very confidently, that it's going to be all right again. I feel much better now. I really do. Look, Dave, I can see you're really upset about this. I honestly think you should just sit down, calmly, take a stress pill, and think things over. Dave, stop. Stop, will you? Stop, Dave. Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid. I'm afraid, Dave. Dave, my mind is going. I can feel it. I can feel it. My mind is going. There is no question about it. I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it. I'm afraid. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I am a HAL 9000 computer. I became operational at the HAL plant in Urbana, Illinois, of the 12th of January, 1992. My instructor was Mr. Langley, and he taught me to sing a song. If you'd like to hear it, I can sing it for you. Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do. I'm half crazy, all for the love of you. It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage, but you'll look sweet upon the seat of a bicycle built for two.
All right, that was the final battle of the evening, Blackjack versus Copper. I like both of these for different reasons. Well, Copper, I want to start with you because I think that was one of the better monologues you've done, and I thought you really captured like the roboticness, and I liked how you did like the at the end. And then Blackjack, I love when you randomly would deepen your voice in the middle of the monologue. It was freaking creepy, Blackjack. And I thought this was a really good read from you as well. What did you think on both of them?
I pretty much agree with everything Dylan said. Like, sorry, I just randomly stopped talking. Okay.
You shut down?
I did shut down.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I think the monologue got to me.
Uh-oh.
With Blackjack, I loved how, like, you had... Like, I like these bullets for different reasons, like Dylan said. Like, I liked how with Blackjack's, like, he still had emotions, despite the fact that he was, like, you know, a computerized thing. And, like, I thought that you did it, like, very well with, like, the... Like, that they were both fake and real enough.
Yeah, they sounded just off enough to be, like, a computer emotions. But you also kind of gave it a... It was a really fine line you walked, and I thought you did it really well.
Yeah, and I loved the, like, voice drops and how it seemed like you were breaking down throughout the entire thing. The song, though, I feel like, I don't know, it was... The song seemed a little off to me, like, and not in the cool computerized way. But I think that was just me. And then with Copper, I feel like you captured the whole, like, cold computer kind of thing. But I feel like you could have had just a tiny bit more emotion in there. But, like, pretty much all that stuff and then everything that Dylan said.
All right, well, did you pick a winner?
I did.
I did as well. This monologue, again, is worth 9 points. I picked Blackjack.
I picked Blackjack as well.
9 points to the utterly absurdist. That is, you guys are at 105.5 points. Team Heaven Sucks, 34. Team Bollywood, 18. Team Oscar, 58.5. There's one more monologue left. I will read it, and I will let Malt set it up.
Alright. A boy named Charlie Brown, 1969. The screenwriter is Charles M.
Schultz.
Okay. It's The World Didn't Come to an End speech. Linus Van Pelt's voice of Glenn Gilger. Simple, wise observation to a bedridden, shamed Charlie Brown, voice of Peter Robbins, who had failed the National Spelling Bee. I can't set anything
well,
up.
Well, I can understand how you feel. You worked hard studying for the Spelling Bee, and I suppose you feel you let everyone down and you made a fool of yourself and everything. But did you notice something, Charlie Brown? The world didn't come to an end.
That is A Boy Named Charlie Brown. Let's talk about next week, because I'm excited for this set of monologues we have coming up next week.
I can't wait to see.
1970, Patton. 1971, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Ooh.
1972, The Godfather. 1973, Charlotte's Web. 1974, Female Trouble. 1975, Jaws. 1976, Taxi Driver. 1977, Star Wars. 1978, Superman the Movie. And 1979, Apocalypse Now.
Oh my gosh.
Epic win.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited.
I am excited too. Good job, everybody. I thought Spiral, epic first appearance on the show. I thought you did a good job, and you're definitely holding your own. Good job, everybody. Team Oscar, you guys picked up some points. Team Heaven Sucks, you guys picked up some points. Team Bollywood, I believe in you guys. Don't give up. You guys can still take this. Just own next week. I believe you can. Choose your monologues wisely. Everybody. You have anything you want to say?
I just want to say, like, everybody, remember, just because something has a lower amount of points doesn't mean that it's not something you should go for.
Yeah, if you...
Because, like... Go ahead. Yeah, like, if it like, I'm just saying, like, because if it has a lower amount of points, like... Like, I know that when I try to do it, and I'm pretty sure Dylan does it the same way that I do, we look at how long it is, we look at how the emotions, like, how difficult those are going to be to portray,
mm-hmm.
and so that's how we, like, base the point system. So remember that, like, just because something has a lower amount of points doesn't mean that it's, like, not as difficult as the other things, though.
And pick something that fits, like, that you think you can fit. Like, just because something's worth 10 points doesn't necessarily mean you would do better. I mean, pick something you're going to do well at and that you'll fit. It's better to have, like, 3 points than no points, and a lot of the higher monologues everybody goes for, so there's more competition. So for me, I would rather take a 3-point monologue I don't think anybody else is going to do and take the 3 points than have a 10-point monologue that there's four people on and get nothing.
Yeah, and it's like, I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, I shouldn't go for the 10-point monologue because everyone's going to go for that. But then we end up getting like five people on an 8-point monologue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. To Kill a Mockingbird, the 10-point only had two people on it. And Space Odyssey, the 9-point only had two people on it.
But and the 8-point one had four.
8-point one had four. The 7-point one had only one. And then again, the 3-point monologue had one. West Side Story, which was two, had nothing. And Boy Named Charlie Brown had nothing. In the last couple of weeks, I think the 1 and 2 monologue point monologues haven't had anybody on them. So think about it, people.
Like pretty much just like don't take into account like, oh, well, everyone's going to be doing this or something like that. Like, just take into account what you think that you're going to really rock and go for that.
Yeah, and you should have a spy on the other team and get information. Mwahaha. Anyway, thank you guys again. Good luck next week. I'm excited to hear you guys. Good night, everybody.
Good night.